بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussion on the beneficial saying on the book of Tawheed, and we have reached chapter 18. Chapter, the saying of Allah, the author rahimahullah said, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ Surah Al-Qasas 28:56 was the title heading for the chapter by the author rahimahullah. Verily, O you Muhammad, guide not whom you like. And also in the Sahih from the hadith of Ibn al-Musayyib from his father, he said that when death approached Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to see him, and there were there present Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah and the other Abu Jahl. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Talib, "Ya ammi, ya am, O uncle, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Say, there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah. كَلِمَةً أُحَاجُّ لَكَ بِهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ A word that I would stand as a testifier for you concerning it with Allah Azza wa Jalla. So, they told him, أَتَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ These two present said to him, You intend to leave and abandon the millah, the religion of Abd al-Muttalib, of your father. When the death approached Abu Talib, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم came to him, and with him were Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah and Abu Jahl. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to his uncle, O uncle, say la ilaha illallah, a word by which I will plead for you with Allah. But they said, will you reject the faith of Abd al-Muttalib? So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated his words, and they did the same. They repeated their question, and finally the last statement of Abu Talib was that he remained upon the religion of Abd al-Muttalib, and he refused to say la ilaha illallah. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily, I will continue to ask forgiveness for you until I am forbidden to do so. There Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبًا Surah At-Tawbah verse 113. It is not for the Prophet or those who believe with him to ask forgiveness for the polytheists, even though they be their close relative, after it has been made plain to them that they are of the people of hellfire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed concerning Abu Talib, concerning him, the verse from Surah Al-Qasas mentioned earlier, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ Verily you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, guide not whom you like, but Allah guides him or whom he wills, and he knows best those who are guided. Now, concerning this topic, what made or prompted the author to put such a heading, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ Verily, O you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, guide not whom you like. It is the same as in the previous chapter. Meaning, if no one is able to help others concerning intercession and relief from the punishment, similarly, no one would be able to guide anyone and therefore act on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or act to guide this type of guidance, the guidance which is changes the heart. So the author, rahimahullah, cited the verse, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. Verily, O you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, guide not whom you like. This address is to whom? This address is to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as obvious. And he used to love his uncle Abu Talib. Love his guidance. He used to love guidance for Abu Talib. So, O you Muhammad, O you Muhammad, who is addressed in this verse, and whom you have the rank with Allah, you cannot guide those whom you love guidance for. And we know that if he likes or loves guidance for someone, then he will be keen concerning it. Despite all of that, he is unable. That is because the matter is in the hands of Allah the Most High. As Allah stated in Surah Al-Imran 3:128, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُعَذِّبَهُمْ لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُعَذِّبَهُمْ. Not for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the decision whether he turns in mercy to, meaning pardons them or punishes them. And also in Surah Hud 11:123, قال الله تعالى وَلِلَّهِ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُ الْأَمْرُ كُلُّهُ. And to Allah belongs the ghaib, the unseen, the unperceived realities of the heavens and the earth. And to him return all affairs for decision. What kind of guidance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated in this curse, in this case where he said, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ, you guide not those whom you like to be guided. This is the hidayah known as hidayah al-tawfiq, the hidayah of success. And what Allah affirmed for his Prophet is the hidayah al-dalalati wal-irshad, the hidayah of directing. So you open the road, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in Surah Ash-Shura 42:52, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Verily, you are indeed guiding mankind to the straight path. What kind of guidance is this? This is the kindness of opening the way. That's all. And you make things clear to them. But making people enter the guidance of success, this is not for you, O Messenger of Allah. This is only particular to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore it's duty bound upon us, therefore, to invite people and to clarify to them matters and direct them, show them the path. While however, when it comes to the hidayah to tawfiq, meaning someone be guided, the guidance of success, this is left to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how both verses are reconciled. Which two verses? إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. Verily, you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what? Guides not whom you like, right? And this verse in Surah Ash-Shura, and verily you are indeed guiding mankind to the straight path. You understand now this? You understand this? You understand how these are reconciled? What about the verse? Let's go back to the verse now. So it's clear, inshallah. You understand the reconciliation? If someone asks you the question, how you reconcile between 28:56 and 42:52, you understand. The first one is the guidance of success. The other one, which is possible, is the guidance of showing the path. Clear? Now, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you guide not whom you love. This is on the apparent, in the apparent that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Abu Talib, right? This is what's apparent, right? This is what is apparent, isn't it? So how can we understand this? How can we understand this? The answer is to say either, number one, that you love his guidance, not that you love him in person. This is the first interpretation. You understand? Okay, you want me to repeat? Okay, fine. The verse, let's put the verse. Verily, O you Muhammad, guide not whom you love. Apparently, the verse indicates that the Prophet ﷺ loved his uncle Abu Talib. So how can we understand this? The answer is first, either to say that the love here is loving his guidance, not himself. You understand this part? Meaning, من أحببت هدايته. You understand? Loving for him, what? To achieve guidance. To attain guidance. Not meaning that one you loved. This is the first one. Is that clear? Before we move to the second. Tayyib, what about the rest in the room? MashaAllah. What about the rest in the room? Where are they? Sitting and listening, but what's the response? Okay. If you don't understand, let me know. Or to say that he loved, or to say that he loved him, the natural love, like the love of the son to his father, even if the father was a kafir, a disbeliever. This is the second thing. Or to say that this was before prohibiting the love of the mushriks. Or to say that this is before prohibiting the love of the mushriks. And the closest meaning is the first meaning. Meaning that the one whom, meaning, من أحببت هدايته, you loved his guidance, meaning to him to attain guidance. You loved for him to attain guidance. Not him in essence. Not him in person. And this is applicable whether it is to Abu Talib and to others. And it is permissible that he loves him the love of what? Of kinship. And this is not in opposition and does not oppose the legal love. Yani, you may love that this person be guided even though you hate him for in person because of his kufr, because of his disbelief. But because I love people to follow the deen of Allah. So you may love therefore for him to be guided. Is that clear now? Inshallah. Okay. Now concerning the hadith, when death approached, so the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his uncle, Ya Am, O uncle, قل لا إله إلا الله. It is possible that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him this as an obligation, as a binding matter. That is because everyone is to be commanded to say La ilaha illallah. And it's possible that he said to him this as direction, directing him. And it's possible that he may have said it to him as kindness, well, hoping. And Abu Talib and those next to him sitting, they know this word and they know what it means. And that's why they reject it. The Prophet ﷺ told him, say La ilaha illallah, a word that I plead for you, if you say it with Allah. So I will mention it as an evidence for you with Allah. Not to argue for you concerning it with Allah. Although some people of knowledge mentioned that this is the case. However, what appears from the meaning is that I will mention it as a proof for you. As it came in one narration, أَشْهَدُ لَكَ بِهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, I will bear as a witness for you with Allah. So they intervened, Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah and Abu Jahl, the two kafirs sitting next to Abu Talib. And they said, أَتَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّتِي عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ, you intend to abandon, or would you abandon the faith of Abdul Muttalib? This exclamation is an exclamation of denial. Because they knew, if Abu Talib would have uttered it, this kalima of ikhlas, this kalima of sincerity, of purity, then he will become a muwahhid. He will become a muwahhid. Muwahhid, someone who singles Allah alone in worship. And the faith of Abdul Muttalib, the faith of Abdul Muttalib is faith of shirk, joining partners with Allah in worship. And so they began to mention to him things which will agitate his attachment to jahiliyyah and to lineage and to tribe and to the way of Abu Abdul Muttalib, so that he doesn't abandon the faith of his fathers and grandfathers. And so Abu Jahl, this one who was present there with Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah, he died on shirk. He died on the faith of Abdul Muttalib. However, Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah, the second person sitting there, Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah, and the person, Al-Musayyab, who narrated the hadith, they became Muslims. So, out of these three present, Al-Musayyab, and Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah, and Abu Jahl, two of them accepted Islam, except for Abu Jahl, who died on the faith of Abdul Muttalib. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, لَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ لَكَ مَا لَمْ أُنْهَ عَنْكَ. Next, I will seek forgiveness as long as I am not prevented from doing so. Meaning, until I am forbidden to do so. I will continue to ask forgiveness for you until I am forbidden to do so. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now. Look at it. Verily, I will continue to ask forgiveness for you until I am forbidden to do so. Or as long as I am not forbidden to do so. It is as if there is something of worry with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when he said, مَا لَمْ أُنْهَ عَنْكَ, as long as I am not forbidden to do so. Isn't it? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam is feeling something there. Right? And the matter occurred as he expected, and he was forbidden. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was forbidden to do so. So Allah revealed the verse, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى. It is not proper for the Prophet and those who believe to ask, to ask Allah's forgiveness for the mushriks, even though they are of kin, after it has become clear to them that they are the dwellers of the fire, because they died on the state of disbelief. So even if they are closest relatives, then it's forbidden to seek forgiveness for them if they die on disbelief. And that's why when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, on his way to make the Umrah, he passed by the grave of his mother. And so he asked Allah's permission to seek forgiveness for her, to seek Allah's forgiveness for his mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give him that permission. So he asked Allah to permit him to visit her grave. And Allah permitted him to do so. And so he visited him for i'tibar, to take a reminder. And he cried. And when he cried, he made the companions around him crying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade him from seeking forgiveness, to ask Allah's forgiveness for the mushriks, because these mushriks are not suitable to receive the forgiveness from Allah. Because if you do so, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do something which is not suitable. And this is a type of aggression in dua. And then Allah revealed concerning Abu Talib the verse in Surah Al-Qasas. No. Verily, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Verily, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, guide not whom you like, but Allah guides whom He wills, and He knows best those who are guided. Meaning Allah guides the guidance of success to whomever He wishes, and He knew, and whomever Allah knows, in accordance with His wisdom, that the person is fit and suitable to place in him guidance. So this is a matter linked to the hikmah, to the wisdom of Allah. Whomever Allah's wisdom necessitates that he be guided, then he will be guided. Otherwise, he will be misguided. This hadith, this narration, cuts all the means for shirk, whether the shirk is in the messenger joining him in worship with Allah, or other than the messenger. So those who resort to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and seek him and seek his help and aid are mushriks. So this will be of no avail to them. That is because he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was not given the permission to ask Allah's forgiveness for his uncle. Yet his uncle stood by him and gave him great support and help regarding his da'wah. So how about then doing this to others who ascribe partners to Allah in worship? Yeah. There are issues in this hadith, problematic. There are problematic issues in this hadith. The first problem, and we mentioned this earlier, the affirmation of guidance and negation of guidance, right? And this was reconciled, that the first one refers to the guidance of success, and no one has a share in this with Allah. And the second is the guidance of direction, opening the way, clarifying, guiding people to know. And there is no opposition between the two. The second problem is, in the hadith, that when death approached Abu Talib, this is problematic with the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nisa 4:18, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ. And of no effect is the repentance of those who continue to do deeds or evil deeds until death faces one of them and he says, now I repent. Why it's problematic? Because the apparent of the hadith is the acceptance of the tawbah. Right? The apparent of the hadith is acceptance of tawbah. So it would be, in this case, as if it is in problematic, or in a problem, on an issue with the verse, and of no effect is the repentance of those who continue to do evil deeds, until death faces one of them, and he says, now I repent. And the answer is from one of two angles. The first is to say that when the death approached Abu Talib, meaning the signs of death approached, yet death has not come upon him. But it became evident that he will die. So in this case, the description is not in opposition with the ayah. In accordance with this angle, is that clear? Is that clear? Now, the second to say that this is particular to Abu Talib with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this is particular regarding the issue of Abu Talib with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this can be supported by two angles. The first, he said, كَلِمَةٌ, a statement which I will plead for you by it with Allah. Was the Prophet ﷺ in this case firm that it will benefit him? Was he firm it will benefit him? He said, I'll plead for you. I will plead for you. So he was not firm, right? He was not firm. He didn't say a statement that will take you out of hell. The second angle, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, permitted the Prophet's intercession regarding his uncle, despite the fact that his uncle was kafir. And that this therefore will not be applicable except to him, meaning Abu Talib. And the intercession is what? To lighten the punishment on him. You understand? Now, which of these angles is the strongest? The first one we mentioned earlier, that the signs of death appeared on him, this is weak. Because when the statement لما حضرت أبا طالب الوفاة, when death approached Abu Talib, this is identical, absolutely identical with the wording of Allah حتى إذا حضر أحدهم الموت, until death faces one of them. You understand? They are identical. And of no effect is the repentance of those who continue to do evil deeds until death faces one of them. And the hadith says, you know, when death what approached Abu Talib and faced Abu Talib. So this, therefore, to say that in this case the signs of death, etc., this is weak. And therefore the clearest answer is to say that this is particular to the Prophet ﷺ vis-a-vis Abu Talib. Clear? That's all. Meaning particular to Abu Talib himself. The third problem. That the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the saying of Allah in Surah At-Tawbah, the prohibition of seeking forgiveness for the relatives and the mushriks, 9:113. It is not proper for the Prophet and those who believe to ask Allah's forgiveness for the mushriks, even though they be of kin, after it has become clear to them that they are dwellers of the fire of hell. This is in Surah At-Tawbah, right? Surah what? At-Tawbah. Chapter 9. And Surah At-Tawbah is a late revelation, a Madianite. Surah At-Tawbah is a Madianite revelation, late. Right? And the story of Abu Talib is what? Madianite or Meccaite? Yes. Meccaite, yes. Right? This is what? This is 9. Tawbah. Tawbah is late. Madianite. While the story of Abu Talib, you know, in the hadith that Allah revealed this verse, right? In the hadith that Allah revealed this verse, it is not proper for the Prophet and those who believe to ask forgiveness for the mushriks. Isn't it? But the story of Abu Talib is Meccaite. What would this indicate? This would indicate the late prohibition of seeking forgiveness for the mushriks. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ asked Allah permission to seek forgiveness for his mother while on his way to Umrah. And it is not possible that he will ask after the revelation of the prohibition in the verse. So this indicates that the ayah is late. Isn't it? And that what is intended is that this prohibition falls under the prohibition of the verse that it is not proper for the Prophet and those who believe to ask Allah's forgiveness. It doesn't mean that it was revealed in that time. The other saying is that the reason behind the revelation of this verse is the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked forgiveness from Allah for his mother. And it is possible to say that it is possible that the revelation of the verse may have more than one reason. Nothing prevents that. لا مانع من أن يكون للآية سببا. It is not something, not possible, that the same verse may have two reasons for being revealed. Now, the fourth problem, is that the scholars, rahimahumullah, said it is a sunnah to ask or to say to the dying person to utter La ilaha illallah. However, without the command, without saying قل, meaning, without saying قل, without saying to him say. Why? They said that it is possible that with the discomfort that he is in, he may say no. He may say no, because his chest is constrained with the arrival of death. Or that he may dislike this testimony or this word or its meaning. And in this hadith we have what? We have what in the hadith? We have قل, isn't it? Say. In the hadith we have say. Right? And some of the people of the knowledge, as I mentioned earlier, said it is a sunnah to ask the person to say La ilaha illallah, but without saying to him say. And in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is saying to his uncle, say La ilaha illallah. The answer is that Abu Talib was a disbeliever. His uncle was a disbeliever. So, if he is told, قل, say, and he refuses, then he stays on his kufr. And in this case, the command to say, say, will not be something harmful to him. Either he stays on his kufr and there is no harm upon him by saying to him, say, or that Allah guides him. Contrary with respect to the Muslim. Different the situation with the Muslim. Why? Because in this case, it is dangerous for him to say it to him in this way. Why? Because it may harm him. You understand the difference? You understand the difference? It may cause him harm because of the situation he is in. So therefore, in the applicability of it on the Muslim, it differs. Yeah, with respect to the kafir, it could be either no harm or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him. Right? And if he rejects it, he's going to continue to be as in his kufr. But what about the Muslim if he says no? Because of his situation. You understand? He will be on a grave danger. Yes, that's the danger. Yeah, it would be of a terrible consequence to him. Now, we'll stop here, inshallah ta'ala, and we will continue discussion on this important subject in the next class, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa